This is the Allegheny Front. I'm Carol Holzapfel. You might remember hearing from Dave Hathaway on our show last year when he lost his job at a coal mine in Greene County, Pennsylvania. We heard what Dave and his former coworker were doing to try to find work, applying for training programs and cutting grass. But what about Dave's family and what's been happening with Dave recently? The Allegheny Front's Reed Frazier has been keeping in touch with him over the course of the past year to find out. Today, we're going to bring you that story. It's a collaboration between the Allegheny Front and West Virginia Public Broadcasting's Inside Appalachia for their series Struggle to Stay. Here's Reed Frazier.
Dave Hathaway has lived in Greene County almost all his life. Except for a brief stint in Colorado when he was a kid, he was born here, went to high school here, and he never really thought much about leaving.
Do you think you might have to move?
I won't move. I love Greene County, and I got ties here, so, you know, my kid and everything, I'm just not leaving. I mean, I'll travel, but yeah, I'm not leaving.
For Dave, there's one obvious answer to why he needs to be here. His son, Grant Hathaway. He's 11 years old.
Want to play five-card draw?
Living in the same county means Grant can visit the house where Dave lives with his wife, Ashley. Grant is Dave's son from a former relationship. Grant lives with his mom, but has a room at Dave and Ashley's house. It's crowded with toys and video game paraphernalia. His most prized possession? His set of football cards.
I love football cards, and my favorite football card is probably my Marcus Mariota autographed card. And I
What do you like about collecting football cards?
I don't know. It's just the sound of opening the cards.
Greene County has been the biggest coal-producing county east of the Mississippi for years. And Dave grew up in a coal mining family here. His father and his father's father were all coal miners.
Pretty much everyone you knew was a coal miner. I mean, everyone's dad was a coal miner at the time. And, I mean, heck, I used to have Kennywood days for coal miners, and it was just awesome. I mean, it was like they always had picnics, and it was just a big coal mining county, really.
Dave eventually became a coal miner himself, taking a job at the Emerald Mine in 2007. He at first didn't see himself going underground, but after working in the mine for a while, he thought of it as the greatest job in the world. He loved the camaraderie of the people he worked with, his union brothers. It was also just a place to get paid well for doing hard work. But then came the bad times. Coal began to lose market share to natural gas. Around the country, thousands of miners lost their jobs, and eventually, so did Dave. I met him a few months after this happened. He was at a meeting for out-of-work coal miners in Greene County. He'd applied to about 50 jobs by then, all online.
Pretty much everything, from prison to casino, gas field, just anywhere.
And any bites?
Zero. Not one phone call from any.
Over the years, many have left this part of the world in search of work. The population in Greene County, like much of the Appalachian coal region, peaked in 1950 at 45,000, and since then, it's slowly declined. Greene County is now home to just 37,000 people, and every year, that number gets lower and lower. Some of the other miners who were laid off from the Emerald Mine were considering moving out of the area to look for work, but not Dave. Staying in Greene County meant being able to watch Grant grow up and do things together, like going hunting. During turkey season, Dave sent me a cell phone video he had taken of Grant lugging a dead turkey that looked just about as big as Grant.
What'd you do today?
Caught a turkey.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Let me see it. Nice.
And it means getting to take Grant to his wrestling matches. Dave took me to one of Grant's wrestling meets at a middle school gym not far from his house. There are lots of parents in the stands and a few bored-looking teenage girls in the back row staring at their phones. We get there during warm-ups. There are dozens of boys in wrestling singlets, squirming around, grabbing each other and trying to pin each other on the mat. They are literally just grabbing any limb they can during warm-ups, whether it belongs to a coach, a parent, a little brother. Dave walks around the gym saying hi to various friends of his, people he knows through Grant's wrestling or just friends he's known for years. When the matches start, the fathers of each wrestler sit on a fold-up chair at the corner of the mat alongside the wrestling coach. There's a lot of yelling. These are instructions for the young wrestlers to grab an opponent's ankle or hip. Sometimes the mothers get in on the yelling too from the stands. I give Dave a look like, what is going on?
This is nothing, man. If you go to an actual tournament, it's insane. There's probably most of them have at least 400 kids wrestling. So times that by, you know, the parents, grandparents. It's insane.
Grant is pacing around in his blue singlet. He bounces on his feet, trying to keep loose.
How you feeling, Grant? Doing okay?
When it's Grant's turn to wrestle, Dave takes his afforded seat on the mat. Dave used to wrestle, so he enjoys the opportunity to pass on what he knows to his son. He doesn't say much. He mostly just stares at the match and calls out one or two instructions. The match is over pretty quickly. Grant gets pinned. When the boys at the tournament lose, a lot of them get incredibly emotional. They have to hold back tears, and Grant is no different. After Grant's loss, Dave tells me Grant has been growing lately, and he's moved up in weight class. That means he's wrestling against bigger and better wrestlers, and the kid who beat him is one of the best in the county.
But that dude's an animal. He's a complete animal.
He's wrestled him before?
No. No, we bumped up a weight class, so that's what we ran into.
That's what we ran into. Someone bigger and more experienced. In a lot of ways, Dave can relate. Being without a job, he'd been experiencing this sensation a lot over the course of a year. He's decided to stay in Greene County because this is what he knows. This is where his life is. Not just Grant, but his parents, his wife's family, and all the people in that gym. And coming soon? Yeah, another child. But without a job, how will he be able to stay here? We'll find out in a minute. You're listening to the Allegheny Front.
What do you say? Can you talk yet? You can't talk. You're not even saying much.
Dave's situation changed a lot when his wife Ashley gave birth to the couple's first child, a boy. They named him Deacon. Ashley was working and Dave wasn't. So Dave watched Deacon most days. I visited a few months after Deacon was born. Inside their two-story house on the edge of the town of Waynesburg, Dave is feeding the baby out of a bottle in his living room. The NFL Network is on.
Oh, dude, hammered this. Oh. This is the most he ever ate.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I filled it
up. When I first met Dave, he had a short goatee. But now he let his beard grow out.
I like when he gets milk drunk and just passes back out. A little coma.
Dave joked. He called himself the Manny, like nanny but with an M. Get it? Manny?
You proud of yourself? Huh? You proud? Let's burp. Get a burp. Don't puke on me.
See, how you doing changing diapers and everything?
Oh, okay? Yeah, that's... I was a pro on the first one, man. Yeah. Pretty good. It doesn't bother me. The dog crap bothers me worse than...
But Dave is still looking for work. I gave Dave an audio recorder and asked him to record himself. He'd made this recording of trying to get in touch with someone about a job application he'd submitted a while back. You can hear Deacon in the background.
And I've been trying to get a hold of these people for about 2 weeks now.
Message for.
And once again, no answer. And it's the story of my life.
All this time, Ashley continued to work for the coal company. It had gone through bankruptcy and was now called Contura. Ashley was hired at the company out of college. Like Dave's dad, her dad worked at the Emerald Mine too. She said when she first started, it was a good place to work. But the mood dampened when the mine started laying people off.
They would slowly lay off the office people as well. Just seeing people leaving in the way that they did it. It didn't seem like the same place as I started.
She says it's been tough at home too, since Dave got laid off.
I mean, we've survived, but having a new baby was definitely, it was a blessing, but it's hard because you have to think about him now and you're spending more money because of that.
By this time, Dave had been without a steady job for 10 months. All the while, he didn't find a single promising lead for a job that could replace working as a coal miner. Compared to a lot of people in Greene County, coal miners make a lot of money. Dave made around $33 an hour at his mine. The yearly take-home is around $75,000 a year, and it can get up into six figures with enough overtime. While he was looking for a job, he only saw offers for the kind of low-wage, low-benefit work that's available in a place like Waynesburg, like a part-time job at Home Depot or Lowe's. He wouldn't take a job like that because he said he could lose the health benefits he was still entitled to for the first year after his layoff. So it was just Ashley's income, unemployment for a while, and he was cutting grass to make a few extra bucks. Still, Dave didn't really think about moving away to find work. He loves Greene County, and his son Grant lived nearby with Dave's ex. And Ashley, too, wanted to stay here. Her family lived in the area. Eventually, Dave's unemployment ran out. He started to get worried. It wasn't just the money. It was also feeling he was unable to provide for his family, which, as a man, he felt was his responsibility.
For, I think, the man of the house not to have a job is pretty disheartening. I mean, it's a hit to my ego, really. I mean, Ashley's the breadwinner. I mean, it's cool she has a job, but I mean, I need to chip in.
Then one day, he was offered a job working at a warehouse. The money would have been decent, and it wasn't at a mine, so he wouldn't have had to go underground.
Which I'm not scared to go back underground, but if I don't have to, I don't want to. Yeah. But that's it, man. That's the only, out of a whole full year of applying for jobs, that's the only company that's called me back on anything. I mean, that's anything, including Walmart. I haven't went to like fast food restaurants yet. But I might have to go flip some burgers, you know what I mean? But as of right now, we're still making it. I figure probably in a month or so, it's going to wear on us. So, we'll see.
Are you like burning through savings and stuff?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's already ripped through. Pretty much. I mean, we probably have maybe like 2 months with our bills and everything, and then everything will be wiped out.
I should probably mention this was back in 2016. You might remember Donald Trump was promising to put miners just like Dave back to work. Throughout the campaign, Dave told me he wouldn't vote for either Trump or Hillary Clinton. He said he didn't trust that anything Clinton said was what she actually thought. And Trump said outlandish things and seemed like a wacko. That was Dave's word. Trump was in favor of coal, but Dave questioned if the president could really bring the industry back. Dave still held out hope he would get rehired by the coal industry, but it didn't really directly relate to the campaign. You see, Dave is in a union, the United Mine Workers of America, so when his mine closed, he was basically put on a waiting list for another union mine nearby. His old company still owned the Cumberland Mine, a few miles from his house, and they were still under contract with the union. Eventually, Dave could be offered a job there. Eventually. But he had no idea when or if, and he was pretty far down the list.
Now, I mean, I'm on the panel for Cumberland, but I'm like, my seniority, I'm probably sitting there like 70. So
yeah, I don't think I'll ever see Cumberland. I'm not even really, like, that's not even, like, a main focus for me. Like, it's actually, like, way down on the totem pole for me. I'm not hoping for it.
As the year wore on, he saw his number get smaller and smaller. And so, feeding an infant on his knee, he kept putting in applications and wondering if the Cumberland Mine would call. And eventually, they did. But more on that in a minute when our show continues. This is the Allegheny Front. Dave was still looking for a job. It was coming up on a year since he'd been laid off. He was still on the waiting list for a job at the Cumberland Mine and was getting close to losing his health insurance from his last job. Here's a recording he made at the time.
Doesn't seem like they're hiring anybody anytime soon, so I'm still waiting on that. My money's running out. My wife's probably going crazy. Sure she is.
After starting around number 70, his name was now somewhere around number 20 on the waiting list at Cumberland. Dave had been at Emerald Mine for 8 years, and by the time the mine closed down, he'd secured an above-ground job operating heavy equipment. To him, being above ground was better. For one, it was safer, and he just considered it a higher status job. Dave had plenty of gory stories of people getting injured by rock falls or close calls he had had as an underground coal miner. One time he thought he might get electrocuted by a faulty wire in a pool of standing water. If he got called back to Cumberland, he knew he'd be back underground. But at least he'd be in Greene County.
I mean, I still don't want to go back underground, but I don't have a job. I mean, it's great money, great insurance, and I need that.
He's determined to stay in Greene County, close to his 11-year-old son, with his wife and now his new baby boy. His wife Ashley is working, but Dave's starting to feel desperate. Dave and Ashley spent the next few months watching the waiting list at Cumberland, and Dave followed up on leads for other jobs. Here's Dave in November 2016.
Well, we have a new president in Donald Trump. What do you think?
He's making this recording while Deacon, his newborn, sits on his knee.
I don't know. He's supposed to bring back jobs, create jobs, and bring back the coal. I mean, I hope it does happen. Realistically, I don't see it happening. I mean, it's probably better for the coal market that Hillary Clinton isn't in there. That's for sure. But I don't know what kind of power Donald Trump has to bring that market back.
You can probably tell from hearing him, Dave isn't entirely enthusiastic about the American political system. Throughout the campaign, he seemed lukewarm on Donald Trump. He called him a wacko, even though Trump was pro-coal. At one point, he said he wouldn't vote for him. But in the end, he did. He was a coal miner, after all, and Trump said he would bring back coal.
Hopefully, he proves himself right, I guess, and brings it back. That would help me and my family out, and hundreds of other families, probably thousands of other families.
Late in 2016, he got a job offer for a company that was doing blasting work. He'd found out about the job when he ran into someone he used to work with at Emerald Mine.
I was walking a dog, and he driving up this road and stopped, and he's asked me what I've been doing, and that's when I was still cutting grass.
It involved working underground, but it paid really well, $40 an hour. But there was a drawback. He'd have to spend 4 nights in another state, away from his family. The job was in Maryland. It would mean leaving Ashley at home by herself to take care of their newborn son, Deacon.
And it was a day shift, but it was 4 days gone, like I'd be staying in a hotel. I mean, it was kind of hard to pass up, but I mean, we agreed that I pretty much had to do it because I didn't have any funds coming in now. But yeah, I mean, I was dead set on going. I had to
go buy a razor for you had to have a clean shaven face. And
but then a few weeks before Christmas, just before he would start his job in Maryland, Dave got word from Ashley that someone from Cumberland's human resources office was trying to reach him. He called back and left a voicemail. He had a good idea what the call was about.
So I called back and no answer, left a message, and she called back probably an hour later and told me it's going to be a good Christmas.
Dave was offered a job at Cumberland as a general inside laborer. He accepted. Dave had told me in the months before that he really didn't want to go back underground, but this was his way to stay in Greene County and support his family. If he never had to go underground again, he'd be okay with that. As for Ashley, she said she was used to Dave being underground.
Ashley, how do you feel about him going back underground?
It's a scary job, but that's what I grew up with. Like, my dad and my uncles, they were all coal miners. So I'm kind of used to the fact that it happens, but I wish he could have found something else, but nothing compares to the pay at all. And right now, and the benefits, we were so lucky having our baby this year and still having his insurance because we didn't have to pay a penny. So that was great.
Free baby.
Yeah. Yeah, usually you're paying like $5,000 for a baby.
We got a cheap baby.
Dave would be going back into a mine. There were a lot of questions. Would it be safe? Would the job last? But all those could wait. For now, Dave was home, and he and Ashley could pay their bills. And that was all they could ask for now. I visited Dave about a month after he started back at the mine. He'd dropped the 20 pounds he put on during his year of unemployment and had shaved off his beard, which had gotten pretty wild by the end of the year. Was it hard, I asked, getting back into the swing of things?
Hey, it wasn't. I mean, you close your eyes and open them, you could think you're at the Emerald. I mean, other than the guys, you know what I mean? I mean, my whole crew's all young guys, like 25, I think 24, 20, 27. It's like the oldest guy on my crew.
At Emerald, Dave had pretty high seniority. He was operating equipment above ground. Generally, the further away from the place they're mining the coal, the better. Whatever seniority Dave had at Emerald went away when the mine shut down. At his new mine, Dave was back at the bottom of the totem pole, even beneath the 20-year-olds he was working next to. He was working the section, the active part of the mine where they cut into new rock with a huge machine called a continuous miner. He handled advancing the mine's ventilation system at the face of the coal seam.
I mean, all I do is pretty much I stand up at the miner all day, 8 hours. Well, 9.5 hours. It gets pretty boring. Same thing every goddamn day.
Dave said it was hard to adjust, not just to the physically demanding parts of the job, but the hours.
Them first 2 weeks were ridiculous, man. I was beat.
Every week, he has to work a different shift. 1 week on daylight, another on afternoons, and another midnight.
Yeah, midnight. That was the first midnight shift I've worked in over a year. That was pretty brutal.
Dave was sitting at his kitchen table. It's one of those high tables you sit at with tall chairs. He walked across the kitchen to blow his nose. The Kleenex was black. He and Ashley want to move, not out of Greene County, just a little outside of city limits. They live in town and want a house with some land on it. Coal mining is the best way he can afford to do this. But in the back of his mind, he's still wondering, how long will this last? For years, coal mines have been getting more coal out of the ground with fewer and fewer workers, and the country is simply using less of it than it used to. In 2015, Pennsylvania's coal mines produced the lowest amount of coal in the state since 1894. Dave wonders, what happens when the longwall machine finishes the section of coal they're currently mining?
And, I mean, they're so short, too. Like, the longwall just, it's going to rip through them.
He's saying that maybe there's just not much coal left to mine, and maybe he'll get laid off, when the machines reached the end of the coal seam.
Kind of thinking it might happen again, like, because, I mean, I don't know, but we'll see when it happens. Ride it out again.
He says he'll probably be underground the rest of his time at Cumberland.
Yeah, I'll be underground probably the rest of a career there. Which, I mean, I'm not mad about it, but it does suck.
I ask him, what would he do if he could do anything else?
I don't think I could do anything else now.
Really? You could do stuff.
I could, yeah. I mean, it'd probably be, I don't know. Yeah, it's probably where I have to be. I don't know if I'd want to do anything else. I mean, I tried. No one would hire me. So, yeah. I mean, everyone else thinks I'm just a stupid coal miner too, I guess.
Dave has a pointed sense of humor. It's kind of like a coping mechanism, a way of saying, ah, screw it. He often jokes with Ashley that someday he'll move into a van and just live there. He says it so often, it's hard to tell whether he's joking or not. Ashley brings Deacon into the kitchen and sits the baby on Dave's lap while she washes up some dishes.
What'd you do with Grandma today? Huh?
Deacon is now 5 months old, and he's up to 20 pounds. The baby stares at my microphone and tries to touch it. It's got a fake fur windscreen that probably looks like a stuffed animal to Deacon.
Yeah. Hey, Daddy making that coal miner money now. You haven't seen that.
I ask whether they'd ever want to leave Greene County. Dave pauses, like it's a question he'd never spent too much time thinking about.
Yeah, but I don't think we'll move out of Greene County. We're stuck here. We're lifers.
Would you ever want to leave Greene County?
I don't know.
Dave says maybe once Deacon is in college, that maybe then they'll try and find somewhere else to live. Dave's son, Grant, is one of the big reasons why he doesn't want to leave. In a previous story, I've told you about Grant's wrestling match that Dave took me to, how he lost to a bigger, stronger, better wrestler. Well, Grant had another match that night. It would determine whether he moved on to the next round in his school's wrestling playoffs. He paced the floor of the gym while he waited for his turn to come up. Grant and another boy square off.
Get off your knees, Grant!
They're well matched, and neither of them can gain much of an advantage. Dave is in his seat just staring at Grant, who manages to go up by a point. Finally, the match ends. Grant ekes out a win. I give Grant a high five.
Good job, Grant. Excellent. So how'd he do? That was really good.
Yeah, that was good.
Did he win?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, 1-0. When he come out of bounds, that was an escape. Got one.
Ashley is there, carrying Deacon in on a car seat. So are Dave's father and stepmother. Dave roves around the gym, chatting with other dads and wrestling coaches. He knows a lot of the people in this room. Grant is beaming. The dejection he felt from losing that first match is gone, almost like it had never happened. He has a medal around his shoulders, which he keeps touching. That match was in March. In April, Dave suffered an injury when a rock fell from the ceiling inside the mine and hit his knee. He was on workers' compensation for months while his knee healed. He had to have surgery for his meniscus, and the knee still hurts, adding to the various injuries he's suffered over the years, including an ache in his lower back from a previous coal mining accident. I visited Dave a few weeks ago at his house. He told me if he had gotten a different job when he was laid off, he wouldn't have gone back to coal mining. But that was kind of a moot point right now. He had a job at the mine. He had a paycheck. He had insurance for his family. And that night, he'd be headed back to work to take the midnight shift. For the Allegheny Front, I'm Reed Frazier.